Well, good morning, Ascend Church. Welcome to church this morning. Come on, guys, get excited. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place. We've come to worship you. We've come to glorify the name of the one true God. We've come to lift up our praises. And everybody in this church that agrees, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, oh, we thank you, Lord. I'll praise in the valley, I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm down. I'll praise when I'm numb.
Everything that has breath,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord. We honor you in this place, God. Hallelujah. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. He is our deliverer. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And in spite of what you're going through, he's able to save you from that and that and that and that. So we speak, Jesus, over whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, whatever your trial is. He's already overcome the world. He's the name above all names. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
We thank you that we have authority in the mighty name of Jesus. So we're going to boldly
And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. There is no one like you in all the earth. No one beside you in all of heaven. You are set apart. You are holy forever, God. Holy forever, God. Holy forever, God. Falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. All have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the grace. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever.
And if you've been forgiven, if you stand redeemed, oh, sing the song forever to the Lamb. In freedom, and if you bear his name, oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb.
We'll sing the song forever and amen.
And the angels cry,
holy, all creation cries, holy. You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Yeah, hear your people sing,
right.
Holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever.
Come on, let's sing.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Yeah. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stays above them all. And the angels cry, oh, all creation, yes, it does.
Holy,
you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Hey, will your people sing? Hear your people sing. Holy. Kings. Yes, you are holy. You will always be. Like you in all the earth, God. None beside you in all of heaven. You are holy, God. Holy, holy, holy. You're holy.
Holy forever.
You will always be.
All glory, all honor, dominion and power belongs to you, God, before all times, now and forever.
At this time of the service, we want to invite our prayer partners to come forward. And if you're in need of prayer, we want to pray and agree with you in the mighty name of Jesus, knowing that it shall be done. Don't be shy. We're here to stand in agreement with you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, I know you're faithful and you're true. I've seen you move like only you can do, like only you can do, yeah. Got this story that proved your faithfulness. And I've seen me. Miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus is you. Jesus is you. And I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen. Too good to not believe. You're the one who working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Yeah. And I can't resurrect a man with my own, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. So all the glory to the only one who cares. Jesus is you. Jesus is you. And I believe you're the wonder working God. The wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen. Too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles I've seen. Too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, you're too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. You heal because you love.
all the miracles we'll see. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen. Too good to not believe.
Too good, too good, too faith.
You know, on the way here this morning, I had a little bit of a scare. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to, I don't claim sickness. But it scared me because it landed me in the hospital before. But I said to myself, I remembered who my God was. How faithful he is. So I came in here and we rehearsed, and then I got Pastor Steve to lay hands on me and pray and agree with me in the mighty name of Jesus. Because I thought I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't feel my face. It was scary, y'all. But he's too good. I've seen him do too many things. Too many things. Too faithful. He is always, it will always happen in your for your good. He will always work it out. He will always answer. So when I sing this from my heart because I know, and I know that you know. So I want y'all to sing this out with me this morning. Amen.
Oh, there's nothing that I got can do. And I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates dissolve. Don't you tell me he can't do. Don't you tell me he can't do. Cause I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Cause I've seen families reunite. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Cause I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally pray. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. And I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates dissolve. Don't you tell me
you can't tell me.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. And I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restore. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen families reunite. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. And I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally pray. Don't you tell me he can't do it.
We're gonna declare
don't
this as a church.
Tell me he
we'll see
can't
cities.
Do it.
Come on.
We'll see cities in revival. Salvation flood astray. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. And we'll see glory fill the nation.
Like the world has never seen.
Don't you tell me he can't do it.
Oh, I know that he can.
And I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I see. Too good to not believe. You're a wonder-working God. You heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. You're too good to
sing
not
this out.
Believe. You're the wonder-working God.
Come on, church.
You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen. Too good to not believe.
the wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. You're too good to not believe.
Come on, if you agree, shout hallelujah. Come on, testify, church.
About you, but just singing those words, singing about the name of Jesus, thinking about what he can do, it builds faith in my heart. How about you? Amen. Anybody here seen God do some miracles, answer some prayers? I know you have. I know Kathy was just, it was just like 2 weeks ago that her son-in-law went to hospital. He's in another state, didn't know where he was, didn't know, the doctors didn't know what to do. Long story short, we prayed for him. He watched online. We prayed for him, and he was discharged from the hospital, completely set free. I mean, that's a miracle. God works miracles. Power in the name of Jesus and power in prayer. Amen. Well, we're so glad to see you. Welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you just turn and greet somebody? Tell them you're glad they're here. Well, thank you for joining us in church this morning. I believe God has a word for you. Last Sunday was phenomenal, just the teaching that Pastor Steve brought, and I'm so glad that he's carrying it on today. I believe it's going to really encourage your faith and build you up. Welcome to those that are watching online, to our Ascend Church members. If you're traveling, you're out of town, you couldn't be here this morning, we're glad you've joined us online. If you've never been to our church and you live in the area, come and join us sometime in person. But we're so glad that you've joined us. And I'm thankful that God is able to minister through the airwaves online and just settle down and get rid of distractions and let the Word of God minister to you. Amen. Those watching on Facebook, just let us know where you're watching from if you have prayer requests. Those watching on YouTube as well. We're so glad that you've joined us, and let us know if we can pray for you about anything. Amen. How's your summer going? I feel like I need a personal dehumidifier to walk around. It's that time of year, right? Super, super hot. But we're glad that you're here. Do we have anyone that's visiting us for the first time today? I don't know that I see anyone that's here for the first time. I see some people we haven't seen in a while. Welcome to Ron and Mom. So glad you're here. Come welcome them. We're glad that they're here. So glad you're here. And, I always believe that God has a word exactly for you. It's funny how our circumstances are all different and different at different times, and yet the Word of God can minister to you. Whatever it is, whatever questions you have, whatever needs you're facing, you're going to hear exactly what it is you need today. Amen. And just a reminder of the different ways that you can watch on, for those watching online or those sitting here, Facebook Live, Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to that. It's such a blessing. I love YouTube for teaching videos. And then also you can watch on our mobile app, and you can watch on ascendchurch.us on our website. So those are the different ways that you can watch. I love that we've got that ability to do that. Although I'll say it every single week, I would rather be in service, in community, than watching online only. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to pass a clipboard by. Just let us know that you are here. We just like to keep in touch. It's the pastor as a shepherd knowing his sheep. So thank you for filling out your details and just letting us know. You know, I was listening, actually thinking of that. I was listening to a teaching by Kenneth Hagin, and he was talking about they were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. And he said, you know, he's heard people say, well, I don't really need church. And he's like, well, then you know better than Jesus did. You know better than the Bible. Because he says that without a shepherd, the sheep get scattered. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Because how many of you know that when you're in the sheepfold, there's safety? Who does the wolf go after? The lone sheep that's wandering off by himself, right? And so welcome to this community of believers this morning. And as we get ready, we're going to receive the offering. We're going to have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God right now. And those watching online, there's various ways you can give. You can just click a give button. You can go to ascendchurch.us. If you're sitting here, there's envelopes in the seats where you are, and there's various ways to give that will come up on the screen, including Zelle, which falls under the same as PayPal, that same email address. And I just want to say up front that we, Pastor Steve and I, so appreciate the faithful tithers and givers at Ascend Church. Amen. We're so thankful for your faithfulness. That's how our church is financed. Amen. That's how the kingdom of God works. But as we give, I like to always read a scripture, and because you don't give out of emotional prompting, you don't give under duress, you don't give because somebody tells you to, but we give in response to the word of God. Amen. And so Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 19. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it's amazing that Jesus did this, and also throughout the New Testament, you see God is always encouraging us to look upward. He's always encouraging us to not just look at this natural realm, but to look beyond it, because this is just, you know, our life is but a vapor on this earth, and then it's eternity is what really counts. And when we give today, what we are doing is we are investing in the kingdom of God. And I want to give you four benefits of investing in God's work. First of all, if you give into the kingdom of God, when you tithe, you are promoting God's kingdom on the earth. That is what you are. Your treasure, you know, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your heart is towards the kingdom of God, your treasure will be, and vice versa, right? Second of all, when we give into the kingdom of God, we are assisting God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, so many people pray the Lord's Prayer that, you know, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not just going to come out of the sky. We actively get involved in seeing God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the ways we do that is by giving into the kingdom of God. You know, let me say this, investing in the kingdom of God is more than just giving finances. There are people that are investing right here, Ashley and Chester and Miguel and everybody. I can see everybody who's there and behind the camera and in Kids Church and everybody that serves in the house of God, everyone who gives of their resources, everyone who gives of their time or their gifts, or Mark Ballou spends so much time because he has the skill as far as Google and YouTube and websites, and so he offers his time. All of that is investing in the kingdom of God. And so, first of all, you're promoting God's kingdom on the earth. Second of all, you're assisting with God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Thirdly, you're laying up treasure in heaven. There are things that we do here that lay up treasure in heaven. Jesus said this in Luke 18, truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. So there are treasures that we can lay up in heaven as we invest in the kingdom of God. But I love that he also says much more in this age as well. And so number four, the fourth benefit of investing in the work of God is you become a target of God's blessing here on earth. Amen. And so thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness to tithe. I want you to hold your offering in your hand, as many people give all throughout the week. And so symbolically, I know I just zeal our tithe in and or our offering. And so symbolically, we're going to believe God over everything that we've given, everything that we are, that we're investing into the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for every person, every man, woman, child, every family represented, those that are giving online right now. Father, I thank you for the promises in your word. We take you at your word, Lord. Jesus, you said, truly I tell you that anything you give up for the sake of the kingdom of God, you will receive much more in this life. So we thank you for blessing that comes upon your people. Thank you for doors of opportunity, new jobs, increases, favor, benefits. Thank you, Father, that you bless them because they are channels of blessing into the kingdom of God. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can go ahead. Those that are watching, go ahead and give online. We appreciate you. And we're ready for the Word of God. Did everybody get one of the handouts as you came in the door? They've had the scriptures. If you didn't get one, you can wave your hand and we'll get one to you. Looks like they picked them up.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. I know that we have quite a few folks out of town this during the summertime, but I'm so glad you are here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I want to commend Monique, because you know, no matter how Monique is our worship leader, and no matter how she feels, she never lets it stop her from coming to church on Sunday. She will come to church even when she's not feeling well, and then she'll say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, and she'll get up here and lead worship. That's what you're supposed to do, you know? You know, I people all the time tell me, I don't feel good, Pastor Steve, I can't come to church. You're supposed to come to church and we pray for you and God heals you, then you go home. That's how it works. This is a place of healing. It's not like, well, I'm going to stay away, I don't feel good. That's when you need to be here. Let us pray. Let God heal you. Right? Monique, are you feeling okay now? You feel okay now? Because earlier on you couldn't feel your face. But now you feel much better. Prayer works, right? So remember that. This week I wasn't feeling good. I just stand on the word of God and confess. People say to me, are you sick? I say, no, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And it'll never keep me from being here on Sunday. I came and preached when I had COVID. I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize that I came and preached anyway. Nobody got it from me. Amen. Praise God. Well, are you ready for God's word this morning? We're going to continue. Let's pray before we get into the word of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you are so good. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, your Son, to this earth to redeem us, to save us. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to the earth. You laid your life down on our behalf. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here with us today. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We honor you. We trust and we depend upon you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing. I thank you that you anoint your word today. I thank you that you touch people and you change people and you transform people by your presence, Holy Spirit. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that is going to be said and going to be done in our lives today. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last Sunday, we started talking about who are you? And I'm going to continue with that this morning. Who are you? Many people today struggle with their identity. A lot of people have insecurities. They have inner turmoil. They don't feel good about themselves. A lot of people don't know who they are. They don't know who God says they are. There's an identity crisis in the world today. And we as believers, we need to know who we are, who God says we are. When you receive Jesus into your life, you are transformed. You are born again. You become a brand new creation. You are joined to the Lord Jesus, and He lives on the inside of you, and it transforms who you are. And we need to find out who God says we are and believe that we are who God says that we are and say who God says that we are. Because when we believe that we are who God says we are and we begin to declare it, then it will become a reality in our life. The scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Bible says we must not conform to the pattern of this world, but we must be transformed. How? By renewing our mind. Do you know that every Sunday when you come to church, your mind should be getting a little more renewed, and your life should be getting a little more transformed? This is something that happens. It's a process. The more that you renew your mind to what the Word of God says, the more that you find out who God says you are, the more you will be transformed in your thinking, in your believing, and in the way that you live. Can you say amen? If you want to live a life that is happy and free and live with confidence, you've got to know and you've got to believe that you are who God says that you are. You can do what God says that you can do. Amen? When you receive Jesus in your life, you're transformed on the inside from who you used to be. And when you know who God has made you, and you begin to believe it, and you begin to say it, and you begin to see yourself that way, it'll become a reality in your life. And you will live fulfilled, and you will live content, and you will live happy, and you will live in peace. Can you say amen? The more that you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. Because who I am in Christ, that's amazing, but who Christ is in me is really beyond amazing. Our true identity is found in who God says we are, and Satan is continually and constantly fighting against believers, trying to get us to lose sight of our true identity, trying to deceive us and blind us from understanding who God made us. In Christ, that's where your true identity is. And there's so many scriptures that tell us who we are in Him. Whenever you find scriptures in the New Testament that say in Him or in Christ or through Him or by Him or with Him or from Him, then you know that is talking about you. It's talking about who you are. Anything talks about in the Lord or through Him or with Him. When you see those scriptures in your Bible, underline them and meditate on them. And it'll build confidence in who you are. You'll also find other scriptures that don't use the specific term in Him, yet they still tell you who you are and what you have and what you can do because you are in Christ. When you find those scriptures, write them down. Begin to declare them. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do. This is what God says. Doesn't matter how it looks. God says that's who I am, then that's who I am. God says that's what I can do, then that's what I can do. Because you see, your faith confession will create the reality of it in your life. As far as God is concerned, everything that you are and everything that you have in Christ, He's already done it. He's already paid the price. Everything the Bible says is ours legally, it is ours. But it is our believing it and it is our declaring it. That's what causes it to become a reality in your life. Romans 10, verse 10 says, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, you got to believe what God says about you, and when you begin to confess what God says about you, with confession is made unto. That's what causes it to become a reality. When you read these in Him scriptures, it may not seem real in your life, may not seem like you really have what these scriptures say that you have in Him, but you're just going to go ahead and believe them and declare them and confess them. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do. And then you will see those truths begin to become a reality in your life. It's already true in the spirit realm, but if you want it to become real in this physical world where we live, then you've got to receive these promises by faith. The more you talk about it, the more real it'll become in your life. The less you talk about it, the less real it'll become in your life. Amen? So now, when you came in today, you should have got this handout. I gave you, last week we spoke about 12 things that I just put them on the, I included them in today's lesson. 12 things we found out who we are. You are a born-again new creation. Say, I am a born-again new creation. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Say that again. I am the righteousness of God. I am a saint. I'm not a sinner. Say, I am approved and accepted by God. Say, I am forgiven and redeemed. Say, I am God's workmanship. I am a marvelous masterpiece. Say, I am special, chosen, and royalty. I am holy and chosen. Say, I am dead to the power of sin, and I am alive unto God. Say, I am favored by God. Say, I am surrounded by the favor of God. God's favor is on my life. Say, I am an heir of God, and I am a joint heir with Jesus. Now, we're going to continue from there today with 12 more points. On the back of your handout, I've included all of the scriptures in the New Testament that say who you are in Christ, who you are in Him, who you are in the Beloved, in the Lord, in whom, by Christ, by Him, by Himself, by His blood, by whom, from whom, through whom, of Christ, of Him, with Christ, and through Christ. And I would encourage you to go and just look those scriptures up. Read them in your Bible. Underline them. Meditate on them. Begin to saturate yourself in who God says that you are. You with me so far? So we're going to continue with number 13. Number 13 is, who are you? You are blessed, and you have the blessing of God on your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. How many of you know has is past tense? It doesn't say God's going to. It says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice that. In Christ, you are blessed. Say, I am blessed. You're not trying to get God to bless you. No, you already are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And how many of you know that everything in this material, physical world came out of the spiritual realm. Everything you see is dependent on the spiritual realm that you can't see. Because God lives in the spiritual realm and God is a spirit and He is upholding this entire universe by the mighty word of His power. So this physical world is dependent on the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not dependent on the physical world. This physical world passes away. The spiritual world continues. And the Bible says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So if you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, that covers everything that you'll ever need in this physical world. Amen? You are blessed. Not only are you blessed, you have the blessing of God on you. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, the Bible says, "The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and into all which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you." The Bible said, God said to them, "I'm going to put the blessing on you." Now, how many of you know that that blessing is on us? In Romans chapter 15, verse 29, the Apostle Paul, he said, "I know when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing." Paul the Apostle knew that the blessing of God is on his life. And you need to know that you are blessed and that the blessing of God is upon you. See, when you have the blessing on you, it's like a magnet that attracts good things toward your life. When you have the blessing on you, that's what commands, that's what causes blessings to come upon you and overtake you. The blessing is like a magnet for good things to be attracted toward you. Say, "I am blessed and I have the blessing of God on me." Say, "The blessing of God on my life, it makes me like a magnet for blessing." Say, "Blessings are chasing me down and overtaking me. Everywhere I go, blessings jump on me." Number 14, who are you? Who are you? You are protected by God. In 1 John 5:18, it says, "The Son of God protects the child of God," that's you and me, "and the evil one cannot touch him." Say, "I am protected." In 1 Peter 1 verse 5, it says, "Through your faith, God is protecting you by His power." There's so many examples in the Bible of God protecting His people. Like when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and God protected him. Like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a burning fiery furnace and God protected them. There's so many stories of God protecting His people. And the Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, "Pray that we will be rescued from these troublemakers who are trying to do us in. I'm finding not all believers are believers, but the Master has never let us down. He'll stick by you and protect you from evil." Say, "I am protected wherever I go. The angels of God surround me and protect me. The Lord protects me from evil. He protects me from disease." Amen. You need to know you are protected. That means you don't have to live with fear. You don't have to be afraid, because God said He will protect you. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 may fall at your right hand. But the Bible says it will not come near you. Why? Because you are protected. Number 15, who are you? You are redeemed from the curse. You're redeemed from sickness. You're redeemed from poverty. You are healed and you are rich. That's what the Bible says about you. Galatians 3 verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." Now, the curse is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It tells you what the curse for breaking God's law is. And the curse includes spiritual death. It includes sickness. It includes poverty. It includes defeat. The Bible's, you see, sickness and poverty are a curse. They're not a blessing. Sickness does not come from God, and poverty does not come from God. That is a curse. Jesus took the curse in our place. He redeemed us from the curse of sickness. He redeemed us from the curse of poverty. That means we do not have to live in sickness, and we do not have to live in poverty and lack, because Jesus has redeemed us from that curse. In Matthew 8:17, it says, He Himself took our sicknesses and He removed our diseases. And in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by His wounds you are healed. Say, I am healed by the wounds of Jesus. He took my sickness and He bore my disease. You see, you are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed resisting sickness. That doesn't mean sickness doesn't try to come on you, but you got to understand that you've been redeemed from sickness and it has no right in your life, but you can be sick if you want to. You can allow it if you want to. I refuse. The moment I feel any kind of symptom, I don't say, oh, I'm going to be sick. I can just feel it coming on. I refuse to say that. I may feel sick. I may look it. But I refuse to say it. I declare, first thing out of my mouth, thank you, Jesus, you took my sicknesses, you bore my diseases, and by your wounds I was healed. I declare, I am healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm redeemed from sickness. I refuse to allow it. It may try and come, but I'm going to resist it in the name of Jesus. I'd rather die by tombstone. He died confessing 1 Peter 2:24. Galatians 3 verse 14. Jesus Christ dissolved the curse from our lives. So that in Him, there it is, in Him, all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out upon the people of the world. In Him, we have the blessing of Abraham and we have been redeemed from the curse of sickness and the curse of poverty. You see, because of God's blessing, Abraham became very wealthy. In fact, Abraham's servant said about him in Genesis 24, verse 35, he said, the Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become a wealthy man. The Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and a fortune in silver and gold and many male and female servants and camels and donkeys. Who did it? Who blessed Abraham? This is not a trick question. We just read it like 2 seconds ago. The Lord blessed Abraham. The Lord made him a wealthy man. And the Bible says that we have in Him all the blessings on Abraham belong to us too. Jesus became poor. He took the curse of poverty so that he could make us rich. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor so that by His poverty He could make you rich. Say this, say Jesus became poor so that He could make me rich. Isn't that what the Bible says? Is that what it says? This Philippians 4 verse 19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, there it is again. In Christ, in Him, by Christ, through Christ. My God will supply all your need by Christ Jesus. You actually have a biblical legal right to become rich. Now, what throws a lot of people is they don't understand what rich means. I didn't say everyone's going to be a billionaire, a multi-millionaire. I said Jesus became poor so that he could make you rich. Rich, the word rich means to have more than enough. More, everything you need and more left over so you can be a blessing. Say, I have been redeemed from the curse of sickness. I have been redeemed from the curse of poverty. For sickness, he's given me health. For poverty, he's given me wealth. I am healed by the wounds of Jesus. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say, I forbid sickness and lack in my life. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Who are you? You are empowered to become wealthy and to be successful. That's who you are. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And the New Living Translation says, he gives you power to be successful. It's amazing how some Christians will fight so hard against this message. I've got people, I've got family, I've got friends. I see them say things, post things. Someone that we know in our family posted recently that, what was it? God never promised to prosper you financially. God never promised you blessings or healings. I'm like, what Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading? God never, the Bible is full of promises where God wants to heal you and prosper you and make you successful. What Bible are you reading from? It's amazing how some Christians fight so hard against, I don't believe God wants to prosper me. Well, be poor then. I don't believe God wants to heal. Well, be sick then. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you about it. If you don't believe God wants to heal you, you don't have to. You don't believe God wants to bless you, you don't have to. But I'm going to believe what the Bible says. There are so many scriptures that tell us this. I'm going to believe what God's word says. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about it. Say this, say, Jesus became poor so I could become rich. Say, I have the power to be successful and to get wealth. That's what the Bible says. Well, Pastor Steve, that was in the Old Testament. That was in the Old Testament. Well, we got a better covenant, the Bible says, with better promises. And if God promised them that in the Old Testament and I got a better covenant, then that means God wants to bless me even more today. Who are you? You are delivered. And you are free. That's who God says. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Galatians 5:1 says, at last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and Christ has set us free. It said we must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Say, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I see people come, give their life to Jesus. The Lord delivers them, blesses them, they get all on fire. And then they serve the Lord for a while. And then after a while, they go back. Why would you want to go back? What in hell do you want? Why would you want to go back? If you struggle with some kind of an addiction, you need to declare, Jesus has set me free. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. Christ has set me free. Amen. Who are you? The Bible says you are seated with Christ and you have authority over the devil. You are seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:5. Even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. Notice that, with Christ. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Say, I've been raised up with Christ and I have been seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Where is Jesus seated? We've been seated with him. Where is he? Ephesians 1 verse 19 tells us. Paul said, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Well, the Bible says that Christ is seated next to the Father in the place of authority, and all things have been placed under his feet, and we have been seated with him. You see, Jesus is the head, and we are the body, and we are seated with him in that place of authority. So that means all things are under our authority too. Because if you and I are the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body, and all things under his feet, and we have been seated with him, then all things under our feet too. Isn't that right? That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. Say, absolutely nothing can harm me as I walk in the authority that I have in Christ. James 4 verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus said in Mark 16 verse 17, those who believe shall use my authority to cast out demons. In Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Whatever I forbid will be forbidden. Whatever I permit will be permitted. You see, a lot of people don't realize that many of their problems are caused by demon spirits. Now, I'm not saying every problem you have is caused by demons. Some problems you cause for yourself. But there are many problems that we don't always realize they're enemies behind it. Sometimes the enemy comes to attack you financially. Sometimes he tries to attack your health. Sometimes he tries to attack your marriage. And sometimes we don't always recognize that the enemy is the one behind it. We have an enemy. Satan and demons are our enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 says we do not wrestle, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in heavenly places. We have an enemy, demonic spirits. We're in a spiritual warfare, but we have authority over them. We got to use the authority that God has given us, because if you don't resist the devil, he won't flee. If you don't forbid the enemy from trying to steal your finances, if you don't forbid it, it won't be forbidden. If you permit it, it'll be permitted. Whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Say this. Say, I have been given authority. Say, I am seated with Christ. Say, I take authority over the devil and every demon. I resist you. You have no place in my life. I command fear to go. I command sickness to go. I command lack to go. I command depression to go in the name of Jesus. I resist you. Anything that the enemy tries to put upon you. Now, let me tell you, depression is from the enemy. Sickness is from the enemy. Lack is from the enemy. Fear is from the enemy. When that tries to come on you, recognize this is coming from the enemy. I've got authority over him, and use your authority by speaking to him and commanding that sickness to go, commanding that lack to go, commanding that fear to go, commanding that depression to go. Use the authority God has given you. Amen, somebody. Who are you? You have power to do miracles like Jesus did. Who are you? You have power to do miracles like Jesus did. Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. In John 14 verse 12, Jesus said, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Now, how many of you are following Jesus in faith? Wave at me if that's you. If you're following the Lord in faith, well, say, this is talking to me. Because he said, the person who follows me in faith will do the same mighty miracles that I do. In John 14, verse 13, it goes on to say, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, the word ask really, more accurately, should be translated as the word demand or command, because this is not talking about demanding from God or commanding. It's talking about using the authority and the power of the name of Jesus and commanding sickness to go, commanding, taking authority over the enemy. That's what Peter and John did when they went to the temple in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a lame man who was lame from birth, was being carried in, and each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. And it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. And the lame man looked at them eagerly. He was expecting some money from them. And Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. What do you have, Peter? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. And as soon as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened, and he jumped up and stood on his feet, began to walk, and then he went walking, leaping, praising God into the temple with them. Now, when the people around saw this miracle, they were amazed. And look what Peter said in verse 11. Dumbfounded over what they were witnessing, the crowd ran over to Peter and to John, who were standing under the covered walkway called Solomon's Porch. And standing there also was the healed beggar, clinging to Peter and John. And with the crowd surrounding him, Peter said to them all, people of Israel, listen to me. Why are you so amazed by this healing? Why do you stare at us? We didn't make this crippled man walk by our own power or by our own authority, because that's what a lot of people tell you. Well, the reason why Peter could heal that man, because he was an apostle. He was one of the original apostles. Only the original 12 apostles could heal. Who told you that? Who told you that? You didn't get that out of the Bible. Some religious person told you that. Some religious person who doesn't know the Bible told you that only the apostles. That's not true. Peter said, don't look at us as though we healed this man by our own godliness or by our own power or by our own authority. He said, the God of our ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has done this, for he has glorified his servant Jesus, the one you denied to Pilate's face when he decided to release him and insisted that he be crucified. Look what he said. You rejected the one who is holy and righteous, and instead you begged for a murderer to be released. You killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead, and we stand here as witnesses to that fact. Faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made this crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. What healed the man? It was faith in the name of Jesus. It was the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. That's what Paul said healed the man. It was because of the power of the name of Jesus. And you know what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 17? He said, these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. Who will they accompany? Those who believe. They will drive out demons by the power of my name, and they will speak in tongues, and they will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous, and they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. In the power of the name of Jesus, they will lay hands on the sick and they will heal them, and they will cast out demons. They will do miracles in the power of my name. Well, listen, is Jesus' name just as powerful today as it was in that day? Absolutely. We still can do miracles because of the power of the name of Jesus. Say, I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the same miracles that Jesus did. Say, I can use the power of Jesus' name. When I pray for sick people, they are healed. Well, Pastor Steve, I haven't seen anyone get healed. How many people have you prayed for? Just pray for them. You don't have to wait to feel something. You don't have to wait till you're some level, some high-ranking level in the kingdom of God. No, those who believe have been given the power of the name of Jesus. When you resist the devil in the name of Jesus, he flees because of the power of that name. When you lay hands on the sick, in the name of Jesus, they are healed. You can cast demons out of people in the power of the name of Jesus. That's who you are. Who are you? You are a can-do person. You can overcome every difficulty and every challenge. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Passion Bible says, I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. I find the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Who are you? You are a can-do person. Say, I can do all things. Say, I can do all things. Say it again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I am a capable, can-do person. Don't go around talking about, well, I could never do that, and I just can't imagine myself ever doing that. Well, I could never do that. Don't ever say what you can't do. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who are you? You are more than a conqueror. Romans 8, verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Through him. And the Passion Bible says, even in the midst of these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. an example. Pastor Theo used to always use this example of someone who is more than a conqueror. If you can imagine a heavyweight championship fight, boxing heavyweight. This is the world championship. And the heavyweight champion goes into the ring and he fights 15 rounds, boom, 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 bloody eyes, you know. And he wins the fight. He defeats his opponent. He's declared the heavyweight champion of the world. And the crowd goes crazy. And when he gets home that night, he hands the check to his wife. He's a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. Because she didn't even have to fight. She didn't have to get in the ring. The Bible says we are more than a conqueror. Why? Jesus conquered the enemy for us, and he gave us the victory, and he gave us authority, and he gave us the power of his name. We've been made more than conquerors. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say, I am an overcomer. Say, I triumph over all difficulties. You know, I looked up the word conqueror in the dictionary, and you know what another word is? Winner. God says you're a winner. You're more than a conqueror. You are a winner. Who are you? You are strong. Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So often people say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm trying to be strong. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying to be strong. I'm trying to be strong for the Lord. I'm trying to be strong for the Lord. The Bible never said try to be strong for the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Number 23, you are a victor. You are not a victim. Who are you? You are a victor. You are a winner. You are more than a conqueror. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another one of those, through our Lord. Through our Lord Jesus, he gives us the victory. Amen? You are a victor. You are not a victim. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to have a victim mentality. You know what a victim mentality is? A victim mentality is when you feel like you have no control over the situations in your life. You feel like other people are out to get you. You feel like bad things always seem to happen to you no matter what you do. You find yourself blaming other people for the situations in your life. Well, if it wasn't what he did, and if it wasn't what she did, then I wouldn't be in this situation in my life. You feel victim mentality is when you feel like no one likes you. The whole world is against you. You take things personally that are not directed at you. You feel resentful and you become negative. You feel like life just happens to you and you have no responsibility for what happens in your life. Listen, you are not a victim. God says you are a victor. You are more than a conqueror. No matter what comes against you, you need to know that God is with you, that God is for you, that he wants to fight your battles for you. Amen. Romans 8:31 declares, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Say, if God is for me, what can stand against me? I love Hebrews 13, verse 6. It says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? I refuse to fear because the Lord is my helper. I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. And if God is for me, who and what can ever stand against me? Amen, somebody. God is for you. You never have to have any fear. God is for you. When David faced Goliath, he said, the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. When Judah and King Jehoshaphat faced three armies, came to destroy them, the Spirit of God came upon a man named Jehaziel and he said, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. I remind myself, doesn't matter who comes against me or what comes against me or who likes me or who doesn't like me, if God is for me, what can stand against me? The Lord is my helper. I can confidently say the battle is the Lord's and the victory is mine. You come against me, I'm not going to fight you. God's going to fight you. Because I've got a covenant with him. Say, I'm not a victim. Come on, say, I am not a victim. I'm a victor. Say, God always gives me the victory through Christ. Say, if God is for me, what can stand against me? Say, the Lord is my helper, so I have no fear. The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is mine. And then finally, who are you? You are bold. You are not fearful or timid. You are bold. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the righteous are bold as a lion. Well, how many of you know we're the righteous? How many of you know that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ? For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So if I am righteous and the righteous are bold as a lion, man, let me tell you, God says you are bold. God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but I've given you a spirit of love, power, self-discipline. I've given you a spirit of boldness. The word bold means confident. The word bold means courageous. The word bold means fearless before danger. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be loud. You don't have to be loud to be bold. To be bold means you're confident. You know who you are. You know who God is. You know he's for you. You know he's with you. It gives you a confidence, man. It makes you fearless before danger. You are bold. Say, I am not fearful. Say, I am not timid. Say, I am bold as a lion. I have a spirit of power. I have love and self-discipline. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen, there's over 140 scriptures in the New Testament that tell us who we are. Tell us what we have. Tell us what we can do all through Christ. I would encourage you to study the will. To study what belongs to us, what our inheritance is. Write these scriptures down. Meditate on them. Begin to declare them over your life. Speak them over your life. The more you do, the more that these scriptures will become a reality in your life. Are you with me, family? I don't know about you, but me, just preaching it to you gives me a boldness, causes my faith to just be strengthened, just talking about these things. That's why I've given you the handout to go this week and declare these things over your life. Look up those scriptures and meditate upon them. I promise you, it'll change your life. It'll renew your mind. It'll transform your life. You begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You begin to believe that you are who God says that you are and that you can do everything God says that you can do. Doesn't matter how it looks right now in your life. Begin to declare these truths, and the truths of the Word of God will become a reality and will transform your thinking and transform your lifestyle. Amen. You receive this today? Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to carry on. There's a whole lot of stuff we can carry on with next week. I hope you're getting something out of this, because I'm sure getting a lot out of preaching and preparing for this. Amen? So praise the Lord. We have, you want to tell us what's happening at youth tonight? Yeah, sure, April.
Hey, family, good morning. I'm talking about youth conference coming up. It's less than a month away, and today is going to be the last day to put your deposit and register. So we've extended it a couple weeks, but this is kind of the cutoff last day. And if it's financial reasons that you guys have kids that want to come talk to us. We have a little money left over for sponsoring any kids that are interested in coming. And then in 2 weeks, July 9th, is going to be the final date to pay off the total balance of the $250 that covers transportation, hotel, breakfast, dinner. So come find me or Michelle after the service if you're interested in registering. It's July 19th through the 21st, so we're only a few weeks away, and it's going to be an amazing time. So thank you, guys. Thursday, we have weekly prayer. How many of you guys have not come to Thursday prayer? Would you mind just raising your hand? I'm not going to. Okay. I just want you guys to just come and experience it for one time, because I really think it will transform your life. Just being in the presence, the glory of the Lord is there. And it says we're transformed from glory to glory. So even if you go there and you don't feel like you're getting something out of it, the Holy Spirit is depositing something in you, His glory. And it's as you go, it's a ripple effect to your family's lives, and you begin to change. It's been, I think, about 2 years since we first started this. And I can say personally, my relationship with the Lord, my faith, has just increased. Just going there and just spending time in the presence. It's because His presence will change your life. I promise you that. So, love you guys.
Sorry, but I've been wanting to share this testimony for a while, but when we started coming to prayer, my husband and I, we came to support Abel, basically. But I just am amazed at what all the things that God has done in our family's life just from being there. I mean, even if you don't want to say anything or just want to lay on the floor or whatever, your family, it will, like Abel says, it will ripple. I've seen it do it in my children's lives. Miraculously. I mean, we can pray and cry and worry about them all we want. But sometimes you just show up at prayer and then let God deal the rest. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a phenomenal thing.
Well, Tom and Anna, they come every Thursday to pray, and they drive from, they live in Sewell's Point. It's about a 40-minute drive. It's quite a drive to come down, but they don't miss Thursday prayer. We have other people, Terry and Noreen, who they're out of town this weekend. They drive from Green Acres every single week. We have some people that faithfully come to prayer every single week. Why? Why would someone drive 40 minutes on a Thursday to come to prayer when some of you live 2 minutes around the corner and you can't make it? Why would they do that? Because of the benefits and the blessings and what happens in your life when you come and you gather with other people who know how to pray and you begin seeking God. Let me tell you, there's two highlights of my week. Number one is Sunday church, and number two is Thursday night prayer meeting. And there are many times on a Thursday, I'll be honest, even this week, we didn't really feel like going, because we just had the grandkids stay with us for 2 weeks, which we loved, but we were exhausted. After 2 weeks, I felt like I needed 48-hour bed rest. You don't understand it till you get to be our age and you get older. As much as you love little kids, it's exhausting. We had 7 kids staying in our condo, and so we loved it. But that Thursday, we're like, oh, man, we're so tired. Well, we're going to pray. And I'm never, ever regretted. I always come out of prayer saying, I'm so glad that I came to pray. I feel so lifted up. I feel so encouraged and strengthened. You know, prayer is where you give your burdens over to the Lord. And you pray and you get into His presence. and you listen to Him. So Thursday at prayer is 7 o'clock. If you've never been, come join us. Come and join us this week. I promise you, it is a life-changing experience. Amen. Stand up with me today. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I believe you're going to have a great week this week. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have made us through Christ. We thank you for all that we have through Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly place. We thank you for the authority you've given us. We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us and that we can live with confidence, knowing that if you are for us, what can ever be against us? Lord, I thank you as we go out of here today. I thank you that you lead us and you guide us this week, Lord. I thank you that you are with us, that you are for us. I thank you for breakthroughs. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for healings. I thank you, Lord. We give you praise that you are a miracle-working God. There's nothing that is too hard for you. And I thank you, Lord, today. I pray that every single one of us will go out of here today and that we will be fired up to be able to share the gospel, to be able to talk about your goodness. To Lord, give us the boldness to share with others the good things you've done in our life. And I pray, Father, that every single person will bring a guest with them next week in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this altar be full of people receiving Jesus into their life. Thank you for giving us boldness this week to speak for you, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you that you're with us, that you protect us. And we thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll see you at prayer on Thursday, everybody. Amen.